All right, folks, would you please make your way back to your seats? Please make your way back to your seats. Before we go to Scripture and pray this morning, I just couple of things came to my attention this week. It has been an interesting week in our country, has it not? Okay. So I just want to say a couple things about the Supreme Court's decision on Roe versus Wade. Obviously, this is a culmination of decades of praying, working, voting, caring, those kind of things. Thank you. God is good, is he not? Okay. But here's the deal. I just want to say this. Let's make sure that we are humble and cautious in our responses as well, okay? We do not want to take a victory lap on this one. Okay, there are people who are hurting. There are people who are in need. And with great victories come great responsibilities. You know, Victory Day in Europe was a fantastic day in World War II, but it came with massive responsibilities to rebuild. And so that's all I could think about when I heard what had happened. We knew it was coming, obviously, because it had been leaked out. But we now have responsibility. I believe it was Jesus who says, love your neighbor as yourself, right? Okay. That means that our responsibility is to care for single moms. I don't know if you knew this, but of the single parent homes in Dickinson County, most of them are led by single moms. You have neighbors that are single moms in this group this morning. We need to be caring and ministering, gracious and generous to single moms, to single parent homes. We need to have tangible concern for those in poverty because 76% of women who choose an abortion choose it because of impoverished reasons. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mixed emotions. You know what I'm saying? Yes, thank you, Lord, but yet I have responsibility as a Christian. There are over 400,000 children in foster care or waiting for foster homes in the United States. Thank you to those of you who are adopting and caring for foster children from this congregation. Okay? We need to pray. We also need to be hands-on as the Lord would lead us. I remember many years ago, this has been a burden of ours as a congregation, and several of the ladies from here and other churches in the community said we have to do something to support, not just vote, not just voice, we need to do something. And so they created our crisis pregnancy center here in the county. And I think that's a great thing. In fact, one of the families was so dedicated to it that they took one of the unwed mothers into their home, paid for her groceries, her electricity, her housing, her vehicle, her college education, so that she could break the cycle of poverty in her home. You hear what I'm saying, right? Great victory, rejoice, yes. But realize that victory is not, I wipe my hands of it, now it's over. Now it is, gird up your loins and get ready for action because God is going to call us to help and to minister and to put our money and our actions where our mouth is and where our voting is, right? So when we pray this morning, we're going to pray that God would help us, that God would lead us, that God would direct us. I am all for what happened. But I also realize that the responsibility of that is massive, okay? We don't disagree on what's happened, but we need to make sure that we're open and available to help because that's what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. All right, stand with me for the reading of the Scriptures. After a long time, it's Matthew 25, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then a portion of Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, today we rejoice in the landmark decision of this week. We really do. But we also do it with sobriety, knowing that this means that we have responsibility that you're going to call on us for. Holy Spirit, direct us. Challenge us. Show us what we can do to be supportive, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Direct us in that pathway, we pray. Thank you, God, for what you've done and what you've helped us to accomplish in these years. It's a long, long time, and we are so grateful for it. Now, Lord, strengthen us for the task ahead. And Lord, today, we're welcoming once again your Holy Spirit. We know that you are here, Spirit of God. Teach us, guide us, challenge us with a message of faithfulness today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And please be seated. During 3 years of Bible college, I don't know, this word just kept not quite setting well with me this week. I was subjected to, it might not be the right word to use, but it's the only one I have today. I was subjected to 936 sermons. 3 years, 936 sermons. You think it's bad, you have to come and listen to me once a week. 900, that's 8 sermons a week for 39 weeks a year for 3 years. 936 sermons. You would think that 800 plus different speakers, because there were 800 different speakers from varying backgrounds with diverse responsibilities and giftings, would provide broad messaging. I mean, if you were to ask almost any student during those years, what was the one message that you heard repeatedly in the chapel at Central Bible College, they would say this to a man and woman: be faithful. It got to be such a norm that it became a joke. I mean, you got a bunch of 18 to 23-year-olds on campus. It became a joke. What are they going to say today in chapel? Be faithful. Be faithful. Is there anything else you people can say to us other than be faithful? You have the ears of 1,200 to 1,500 aspiring ministers and missionaries. Could you give us something profound? Be faithful. Are you kidding me? Be faithful. That was it. Of course, when you're in your 20s, it just becomes a joke. It's hard to deal with. Do we really need to know what's going on? Do we need to be prophetic to tell what's going on in chapel? No, they're just going to tell us to be faithful. Today, on this side of it, I'm grateful for that constant drumbeat of faithfulness because it landed. Be loyal, be consistent, be reliable, be trustworthy. When you've done that, you've succeeded. No matter what the world says and no matter what the church says, you have been faithful. No matter what the numbers say, no matter what the coffers say, no matter what the building looks like, if you have been faithful in the eyes of God, you have been what? Successful. You notice that in the Matthew passage, you had good and you had what? Faithful. In Galatians, what are back-to-back virtues? Goodness and faithfulness. It's not by mistake. This is an important thing to God. And faithfulness has fallen on hard times. It's out of vogue. It's not the cool thing to do. It's not popular, but it is what God wants us to do. And friends, I don't know about you, but if I am going to be judged on the metric of goodness and faithfulness when I stand before Jesus, I probably ought to give it a little bit of a listen, right? Goodness and faithfulness. So today, let's grow in our appreciation and application of faithfulness. And I want to begin by considering our problem, our societal problem with faithfulness. Each of the virtues that we look at in Galatians 5 is resisted by our larger society. They're not accepted. Whether it's an outright rejection or a warped interpretation of what it means, they pose a formidable challenge to the American way of life, the American thought process. So much of how we think, speak, and act is contrary to the virtues of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness that as a society we begin to take issue with each one. Our problem with faithfulness is primarily our fixation with disposability. Disposability. Is there anything that we purchase today that cannot be thrown away? Is there anything we purchase today that can be fixed or repaired? I mean, a car, I guess, right? A vehicle? It's one of the few, a home. But almost everything else is what? Disposable. Tracy, I remember years ago you worked as a TV repairman. Is there even such a thing today? No, I take my $400 TV, I throw it in the trash, and I go buy another one. Because why would you fix it? It is disposable. Does anybody even use DVDs anymore? I don't know. Everything streams, so I don't have to fix it, right? But if you had a DVD player in your home, is that something you'd fix? No, you throw it away and you go spend $40 on a new one, because everything is what? Disposable. What do you do when your laptop is 3 or 4 years old? Get a new one, throw it away. Because it's so outmoded that it can't even upload the most recent Windows version. I have a computer that I paid $1,800 for 4 years ago, and it no longer can keep up with the Windows updates. Are you kidding me? So what do you do with your 4 or 5 year old laptop? You dispose of it, wipe the hard drive first, throw it away, and you buy a new one, right? When it costs more to repair than replace, you throw it away. If you have an iPhone, it goes out of style so quickly there's no time to need a repair, so you just get a new one anyways, right? About every 6 months, that's how that happens. We've made nearly everything disposable. Everything is temporary. And when the mindset of a society becomes saturated with this messaging of disposal, how long does it take to begin to wonder if relationships and institutions aren't disposable as well? I can just throw it away. I can just move on to the next one. I can just go do this. I can change my mind and I can go over there. It changes our loyalties and our commitments and the way we think about this. It's amazing. Philip Kennison wonders if the only loyalty we have is to what is short-lived. Is that the only loyalty we have, that which is short-lived? And if the only commitment we have is to being deeply uncommitted? I think that's a fair societal assessment. He states this: we are encouraged to flit from one thing to the next in search of the missing something. Whether it be spouses, jobs, friends, churches, possessions, hobbies, rather than sticking with someone or something for any length of time, we're on an epic quest to find what's missing, to discover what's lacking. And the question that came to my mind when I read that is, how can the spirit seed of faithfulness sprout in such turbulent and toxic soil, let alone root and produce any kind of fruit? When everything is constantly churning. Listen, you've planted your garden. Go out this afternoon and take your rototiller and churn the soil for a minute. How long is your garden going to survive if you just run your rototiller through that garden this afternoon? It's not. And we have this turbulent soil of always changing, always looking for the new, always looking for what's missing, and we expect faithfulness to grow in that soil. It cannot grow there. Disposability chokes out the seed of faithfulness. It chokes out the seed of faithfulness. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells the parable of a sower, a farmer who went out into his field to plant. What does he do? He has a bag of seed and he scatters as he's going, right? This is how they did it. He didn't have the giant John Deere, the attachments on the back. He's going on foot. And some of the seed falls in good soil that's been tilled. Of course, there's some sort of a footpath through there, so some of the seed falls on the footpath. Some falls along the edges because you want to get as much seed in the soil as you can, and the edges are where the weeds and the thorns grow. And each of those seeds produces differently based on the type of soil it's in. Initially, that which is on the footpath, man, it's warm there. The soil's really warm, and it grows, and it roots quickly, but it can't dig deep. So when drought comes, it withers, and it fades. That which is in good soil, it roots down. It takes what moisture is there. It grows. It produces fruit. And that which is out on the sides gets choked out by the competition. There's too much competition. So the thorns and the weeds don't give it the chance to really flourish and grow. Each soil condition produces different results. Well, disposability is one of America's thorn varieties. It's a weed variety. And it is choking out our ability to be faithful or to view faithfulness as a true virtue. The constant messaging in our society is it's disposable. Throw it away and get a new one. It's disposable. Throw it away and get a new one. Sometimes I wonder if the whole recycling mode is just a way to ease our conscience for the disposability we have in our society. I'm not opposed to recycling. trust me. But the reality is, you wonder sometimes, are we just trying to salve our consciences for all the stuff that we consume and throw away? Disposability creeps in and it takes the life from what's true. When everything is disposable, there's nothing that is sacred and there's no need to commit to anything long term. That's our problem with faithfulness. Because what? Everything is disposable. You know, even my car's disposable. I'll have it for 10, 12, 13 years, right? And then what do I do with it? I trade it in. Maybe somebody can get a few more years out of it. And then what happens to it? It's disposed of. They have a crusher, right? They shred that thing up. It's disposable. Everything in life is disposable. We need to consider how that intersects with our ability to be faithful. Living in a disposable society, how can we develop faithfulness? How is it possible to live faithfully in a society that does not value it whatsoever? Well, obviously, our exemplar of faithfulness is God. If we hope to become faithful people, we have to examine God's faithfulness. Prophetic messages this morning, the songs this morning. You witnessed that on television today. That is fantastic. No, it's not. I'm not going to name the person. Because I'm embarrassed enough for 80 of us right now. I found out that my phone now has changed, and you have to have the ringer on to hear the alarm in the morning to get up to come to church. And I forgot, obviously, to put the ringer off. So I should have answered that, yes, Lord. But, wow. I'm like, because the first thought in your mind is, who has their phone on? You're welcome. Happens to the best of us. Where were we, by the way? Thank you. Somebody's paying attention. The words of the songs, the prophetic words, all pointing to what? God's faithfulness. So we have to examine God's faithfulness. In Exodus chapter 34, God reveals himself to Moses. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, which we know is what? Patience, abounding in love and... Oh, there it is again. Faithfulness. There it is. Faithfulness. One of God's fundamental qualities is faithfulness. How is God faithful? He is faithful in so many ways that we could not discuss them all this morning. So I'm just going to give us three of them. First is this. He is utterly reliable and loyal over time. So when you hear these things, remember, this is what he wants from us. He is utterly reliable and loyal over time. Don't forget that. He's not just reliable and loyal once or 10 times. He has a history of it, right? When God says he will do something, you can count on him to what? Do it. When he makes a commitment, he always follows through. Like me, I'm committed to not having my ringer on now. Right? You can depend on him. He has proven it over thousands and thousands and thousands of years. God is faithful. God is faithful because he is stable. He is stable. James tells us this about God in James 1:17. Be good to write that down so you can look it up later if you don't know it already. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, key phrase this morning, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He doesn't change like the shifting shadows. It's interesting. You see this little light here in the front, right, from one of these windows. Well, this morning at 7:45, when the worship team was up here practicing, guess where that light was? Right there. It shifts constantly. God doesn't shift like that. He is faithful. The author of Hebrews, this one we know, 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He is stable. He is what? faithful. He's stable. God is faithful because he remains faithful even when we are not. This is baffling to me. I wish I understood this more. He is faithful when we are not. He sticks with his commitments even when we do not. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God keeping his promises to the children of Israel even when they failed to keep their end of the bargain, the covenant. He kept his promise to them. I mean, that's one of the great themes of all of the Old Testament prophets, is that God remains faithful even when his children reject him. I think of the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. God commands Hosea to marry a prostitute. Not a converted prostitute, a prostitute. And he says, you basically are going to be my visible message to the children of Israel, and you are to remain faithful to her regardless of what she does. That's a sermon I would prefer not to have to preach that way. God called one man to do that, and he exemplified God's own faithfulness to his children, saying, like Hosea is faithful to her, I am faithful to you. She's out doing whatever she wants, but he is rock solid, stable, loyal, consistent, always doing what he's supposed to do. And God says, that's how I am with you. You might not keep the covenant, I might not keep the covenant, but God always keeps the covenant, and we can always return to him from our failings. Because he is open to what? Reconciliation. That is one of the biggest parts of God's game plan. He is reconciling all things to himself through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 20. Few verses that talk about God's faithfulness. Psalm 108:4, great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the skies. Where does the sky end? Okay, yeah, we don't really know, do we? Great. It's eternal. Psalm 117:2, great is your love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures for how long? Forever. It never goes away. Psalm 146:6 reiterates that he remains faithful forever. And just to the point, the Apostle Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot what? Disown himself. He's true to his character. He's true to his character. So we develop faithfulness by examining God's character. He's utterly reliable over time. He is stable and he remains faithful even when we are not. He is locked in, loyal, trustworthy. We can trust him with our lives. He's proven himself over time. But how else can we develop faithfulness? The first one is this, make and keep your promises. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Make and keep your promises. But we live in a fluid society where truth is relative. Oh yeah, I'll commit to that. And then what happens? Well, then I look at my schedule and I find there's something better going on than whatever I committed to with you. Therefore, I go and say, you know what? I really can't make it. Make a promise and do what? Keep the promise. The only time to renege on a promise is when it's serious. Right? You're holed up in the hospital, something happens in the family, you understand that? But if you make a commitment to human beings expect those commitments to be kept. Right? And we also, here's the deal, we serve a promise-making and promise-keeping God. It's his character. He wants us to do the same thing. Obviously, marriage is one of the ways we can do this. We take solemn vows and make sacred promises to our spouses. And as we fulfill those promises over time, we prove ourselves faithful, loyal, reliable, trustworthy. We know full well that sinful humanity warps this. No doubt. But we make promises, we make commitments, we should do our best to keep them. It doesn't always work in our imperfect world, but this is our call. Make your promises, keep them. Put them on your calendar. Only renege if it's serious. Over the long haul, people will learn that we can be counted on. It also means that we should not overcommit. Please hear me on this. Overcommitment is a lack of faithfulness too. Well, what do you mean? Too often our unwillingness to say no stands in the way of our being faithful to the few things that we could be doing and proving our faithfulness. Don't overcommit. so that you can keep your promises and don't have to go, oh man, I double scheduled. That should be a rare thing, right? Like my phone going off on Sunday morning service. First time in 30 years. I'm just bringing you back in. It's okay. We might as well use it, right? Second, tell the truth. Tell the truth. What happens to our trustworthiness when we lie to people? It goes away, doesn't it? And how hard is it to rebuild that trust when we lie to people? Oh, man. I can deal with a lot of stuff. You know, we used to have this lecture with our kids when they were younger. You know, there's a lot of things. Just tell me the truth. Don't lie to me. Because I'm going to find out. God's going to tell me. Somebody else is going to tell me. I'm going to find out. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how many words of wisdom and words of knowledge parents have. Like, I know you didn't do that. I know you didn't tell me the truth. Just because we've done it ourselves. I mean, you know, we've been around a while, right? So here's the deal. Tell the truth. I want to hear the truth. You don't have to hurt, you know, brace me for my feelings. Tell me the truth. Do it in love. Do it for my benefit. Do it for my, you know, for my health and well-being. Do it for the health and well-being of the relationship. But if we hope to be faithful, others have to be able to trust what we say. They have to be able to. It's no easy task in a society where for a generation or so, truth has been viewed as relative to the situation. You just tell, does this make you crazy? Well, it's my truth. What? I didn't realize I could make up my own. That sounds an awful lot like lying. Right? You see, you hear what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you're making it up as you go along, you're lying. Tell the truth. But it's hard to do in a society where truth is tailored, or we try to tailor it to what? This situation or that situation. Faithfulness is truth-telling. And it's out of fashion in every aspect. But very few as essential as telling the truth. Remember, again, these are fruits of the Spirit. This is a byproduct of having the Spirit of God live in you. Honestly, we come to this series, and I love what we're doing. I love the responses that we're having and what people are saying about how it's impacting them. I have one regret that I haven't taught on this in this depth sooner, right? I'm with you. I love the charismatic experience. I love that people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. I love to see that. But listen, if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, we have a major, major problem. Has anybody here ever seen a charismatic person that lacked character? We don't need to name names this morning, but we have a few public figures, don't we? Those folks could have used a good dose of what? The fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. And the character of Christ does what? It governs the expression of the charismata or the gifts. It governs the experiences we have. It should. A few of you will understand this. I don't care how high you jump as long as you walk straight when you hit the floor. You've been around a few camp meetings. You've heard that one, right? What does that mean? Have all the experience you want, but walk in character when the experience is over. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Essential to this expression. If we are people who are full of the Spirit, apparently we should be walking in accordance with the Spirit, which is walking in accordance with these things. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. Once again, we discover that the virtues of love are super relevant to our times. Let me ask you the question I've been asking week after week. Does our town need to see a demonstration of God's faithfulness through us this week? Does. That doesn't come from us ginning it up and making it happen. It comes from us doing what? Surrendering to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, develop this in me. Placing ourselves in a situation where we are influenced and under the influence of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis so that we can be faithful. I love this when this happens. So I've had two illustrations this morning. They're just really rich. Dave's phone going off. And these friends here celebrated their 62nd wedding anniversary this week. Right? Seriously. Thanks for telling me. Pretty good testimony to faithfulness, isn't it? Yeah, it's excellent. You know, and we have a lot of those folks in this room that are over 50 years. That's a testament to God's faithfulness and their willingness to be faithful to each other. That's rich, isn't it? It's good. So what do we need? The community needs us to be faithful. God wants us to be faithful. He's urging us to be faithful. And we need to put ourselves in a place. Just this morning for a few minutes, it says, okay, Lord, work your faithfulness in me. So that I can be true to my word, so that I can tell the truth with love, so that I can make my promises and keep them, so that the world will see the faithfulness of God, who is stable, who is always true to his word, who is loyal over the long haul. Lord, fill me with your faithfulness so that people can see there is an alternative way to live and experience this world. Natalie, would you come to the piano, please? Like I've said for months and months now, we're trying to spend some time praying together. No arm twisting from the pastor. I find it distasteful. I'm not a salesman. I'm a pastor. But we need to pray, do we not? We need to ask the Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful to you, to each other, faithful to your word. Lord, we need your help. So would you come and just join me here near the front, and let's ask the Lord once again, Lord, we need your faithfulness developed in us. We're placing ourselves under your care. Influence us, Holy Spirit, toward faithfulness. Shape and nurture faithfulness in us. Holy Spirit, it's your work. Would you come, please, and let's spend the next few moments in prayer together, saying, Lord, make us faithful. Shape your faithfulness in us. Listen, if you have a long, storied record of faithfulness, thank God. It's good. It's his goodness in you. It's his nurture in you. Friends, if you've struggled with faithfulness, you know what? Our God is a God who restores, and he will nurture his faithfulness in you. So let's just, with your own voice, begin to call on God. Lord, stir up that faithfulness in us. Nurture faithfulness in us. Well, if you're here at the front or you're seated, just begin to call on God and say, Lord, nurture faithfulness in me. Your character, your trustworthiness over the long haul, your loyalty over the long haul. Loyalty to you, God. Loyalty to my family. Loyalty to the family of God. Loyalty to my commitments. I don't want to make commitments lightly, Jesus. I want to be able to fulfill those commitments to you. Nurture your faithfulness in us. Make us an example of faithfulness. Lord, thank you for so many long-term marriages here today. And we're so grateful for their testimony of faithfulness. It hasn't been easy. It's been trials. It's been hardships. There's been difficulties. But Lord, we've stuck with a commitment. We've followed your character. Lord, help us to follow in that footstep in all of our commitments to you, to each other, to the church, to the community. Nurture your faithfulness in us. Holy Spirit, come. It's your work. Take that seed of faithfulness and plant it deep in good soil in our hearts, oh Lord. Not on a footpath. Not up against the weeds of disposability, but where our hearts can grow and produce fruit of faithfulness, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. We can't do this without you. We can't demonstrate your character without you. Nearness is likeness, oh Lord. Nearness is likeness. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Yes, Lord. Yes. Breathe on us, breath of God. Breathe on us this morning. We don't come here just to check our box today, God. We come to meet with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Rushing wind, blow through this temple. Fire of God, light on our lives today. Fill us, oh God. And would you just, even those of you who are seated, those of you who are standing here, would you just lay hands on someone near you or pray for the person to your right and to your left, whether you know their name or not. Just go ahead and begin to pray that the Holy Spirit would be their influence this week. They would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, this morning we pray for the person to our right, the person to our left. fill them with your spirit today, God. That they would overflow with these character qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, oh Lord. That faithfulness would grow in us, the faithfulness of God. That we would take covenant faithfulness, oh God. Fill them up to overflowing this morning. Fill them up to overflowing this morning, Jesus. Fill them up to overflowing this morning, Jesus. Rivers of living water that would flow from within. And Lord, we are thirsty for your presence, not for selfish gain, so that we can demonstrate your character, your love, your power to those around us, Jesus. Fill us up, Lord, right now. We surrender to you, more of you, Lord, less of us, more of your character, more of your joy, your faithfulness, your goodness, your love, your peace, your patience, your kindness, O Lord. Meet their needs as we lay hands on them, as we pray for them, to the right, to the left. Meet their needs. Supply for them, Jesus. Make them strong in you this week, O Lord. Make them strong in you this week, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Would you stand with us, please? These friends praying, praising, receiving, and responding to your word. Lord, we make our one heart's desire to be like Jesus this week, everywhere we go. Help us, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us for the task, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.